This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I can't think of a single presidential administration that has broken more plates in its first 9 months than the Biden administration. I mean, think about it. You were talking about it earlier. Afghanistan, inflation, crime, critical race theory, gas prices, the destruction of America's energy independence. And yet, of all of the president's screw-ups, there's not a single one greater than the crisis at the border. And it is a crisis.
So that's Senator John Kennedy is always colorful. You can put a porcupine in your clothes dryer, but it ain't going to get dinner on the table at 6 o'clock.
You know, I spent the entire clip dreading his effort to be homespun, and he didn't do it. He was just a smart guy expressing sincerely the issues of the day. Hallelujah.
But he's a Republican, so you expect him to say that sort of thing. But Chuck Todd said more or less the same thing, host of Meet the Press the other day. I was listening to the Dispatch podcast yesterday. They're all conservatives but never Trumpers, talking about how is Biden just bad at his job? And has anybody ever had a worse, like, 8 weeks than he's had over the last 2 months? I mean, you know. Lincoln had a rough stretch there with the Civil War and getting shot in the head. You know, other presidents have had some bad times.
Okay, granted.
But it's a pretty rough stretch.
Well, and Biden does absolutely not convey a sense of being in control and of being ready to right the ship. Quite the opposite.
Dimly aware of most of these events.
Right. Well, that bad at Kevker.
As long as we're talking about people commenting on the situation on the border, let's go with Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar in clip number 42.
Border Patrol has had those horse brigades for a while. They've had them for a while. They don't carry whips, and they do not carry lassos. What are they supposed to do? Just stand there and let everybody come in?
Well, that was my question. That's a Democrat, by the way. But that was my question. If you tell people you can't cross this line, and then they try to cross the line, what are your options? Other than to physically, well, there are really only two, saying, okay, I guess you get to come in, or you physically stop them.
Correct. Yep. I have no problem with that. None whatsoever. Maxine Waters does, though, keeping in mind that she is a numbskull. I mean, she is... The fact that L.A. elects her over and over again, it's just shame, shame on that district. Here's Maxine reacting to the scenes of the horse, the horsemen. What do you call that? The mounted police keeping people from breaking through their lines in 41.
I'm pissed. I'm unhappy, and I'm not just unhappy with the cowboys who were running down Haitians and using their reins to whip them. I'm happy with the administration. We are following the Trump policy. He is the one that does not follow the Constitution and would not allow those seeking refuge to be able to petition to get into the country. What the hell are we doing here? What we witness takes us back hundreds of years. What we witnessed was worse than what we witnessed in slavery.
That sound in the background was the tears of the founding fathers falling, and or the tears of actual slaves hearing a black woman in power saying that a minor incident where a couple of people got jostled was worse than slavery. God, if this, there ought to be, where are the karma police?
Well, fitting in with the whole, all the people, including the president, talking about minor voting restrictions being worse than Jim Crow.
Yeah. Right. Good Lord, if there were karma police, those people would be in jail for the rest of their miserable lives.
You would think there'd be a penalty to pay for that.
God, you'd hope. I mean, especially as the alleged party that defends black America. Please.
So I came across this yesterday. Tim Sandifer tweeted it out. Okay, some of the stuff about wokeness is overblown. But can we admit there's something a bit chilling about the ACLU of all groups censoring the word women from a quote? And it's a quote from Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is a saint to those on the left, former Supreme Court Justice. Well, she would still be a Supreme Court Justice. She's just south of the earth is the thing. She died, is what I'm saying. But she has a famous
real
quote.
Wordsmith. Here we go.
She had a famous quote that said, the decision whether or and it's around the whole abortion issue. So they're taking a look at what Supreme Court justices have thought throughout history. The decision whether or not to bear a child is central to a woman's life, to her well-being and dignity. It is a decision she must make for herself. The ACLU put that quote on their website, but changed it to, the decision whether or not to bear a child is central to a person's life, to their well-being and dignity.
Removing, the ACLU has lost its mind. Go ahead.
Removing the word women and she. Woman and she. Isn't that crazy? The ACLU is, first of all, the whole denying it's women who have babies thing is its own craziness. But it doesn't even really make any difference because it's a quote. I mean, it's the words that came out of her mouth at that time. Even if everybody was on board with the weird, we don't call moms women anymore, you still ought to go with the quote word for word what it was.
Well, right. It's like changing a Frederick Douglass quote so that it doesn't say Negroes and says African Americans.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's just, you don't do that.
Isn't that something? Wow. The ACLU of all places. Taking the word women out of a discussion about abortion and to make it persons.
Yeah.
Wild.
Man, people are losing their friggin' minds.
Everything woke turns to shit.
It's a good point, sir. Speaking of which, folks have really been reacting to an email we read right at the beginning of the show today from some folks in the barrio of California talking about how this a Bay Area branch of a large university system is putting out a bid. We invite you to submit a piece of art to be considered as the cover art for new books on mathematics lessons to explore, understand, and respond to social injustice. This is math class, you know. These are books for math teachers to use in upper elementary and middle school math classes that are filled with math activities about racial, economic, gender, health, ability, and environmental injustices in society, and how young people like you can make a change.
In math.
Yes. Yes, of course. Math is no longer about math. It's about indoctrinating your child into social justice. Pause for a moment and consider what this means. And keep in mind the various Antifa teachers, America-ka-ka with the three Ks teachers we've exposed in recent days. They won't even let an hour of the day go to waste in indoctrinating your children. It has to be in every single class.
We got this text when we talked about it earlier. My daughter's eighth grade math has social justice statistics on Thursdays. It's Social Justice Thursday. Seriously, what the hell? How about get them caught up after 1.5 years of sitting in front of a computer? But on Thursdays, they do all their math around social justice issues.
There you go.
To try to fit that in.
An indoctrination day. So Aileen Anonymous, who sent this along, followed up. Her husband actually came up with this social justice math problem. Now, grab yourself a pencil. If you're driving, you want to pull off to the side because you got to write down the, you know, the factors, the terms, the whatever. Here it goes. A Latinx gay wheelchair-bound queer questioning trans person boarded a train at 2.05 p.m. that averaged 43 miles per hour. The trip normally takes 58 minutes, but a horrible racist white male boards the train at mile 21 and commits 4 microaggressions against the Hispanic gay porter. The conductor, a brave Muslim cisgender female, is upset and traumatized, and the average speed of the train goes down to 40 miles per hour. Okay? Minus 4. The distance from the beautiful green city of Diversopolis to the COVID-ridden rural town of Trumpville is 19 miles. Assuming that the patriarchy does not co-opt our math figures and that there is adequate representation of all of the 74 genders, what time do we arrive at the despicable Trumpville? Remember, what is important is not accuracy, but is using your lived experience to arrive at your own intersexual conclusion.
Well, we got one texture who said, and the answer is white supremacy.
Correct. That's absolutely correct. And that's the end of math class for today in American government schools.
Social Justice Thursday for math class. And, of course, social justice as defined by your teacher and school.
Right. And those who seek social justice really don't mean justice, and it doesn't help society. So, wow.
We ought to hit this stat again. The numbers are in for murders in this country. How is this not like one of the top things we're talking about? What the hell?
We should and we will. But I think if American parents were fully aware of the indoctrination taking place in schools, including elementary schools, high schools, colleges, I think there would be riots coast to coast if people were aware. But it's being done clandestinely. The revolutionaries within the school systems, they know you would hate it.
Plus, if you're like over 40, you grew up with, there was nothing controversial about your school. There was no reason for your parents to pay attention, really.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and so people don't even, they're not even aware that there's an issue.
TikTok has an alcohol problem. Bunch of different things we can talk about on the way.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Reality star Kylie Jenner unveiled the new products from her Kylie Baby line, which include shampoo, conditioner, bubble bath, and lip injections.
Funny.
Jiminy.
Speaking of babies, I was just somehow stumbled across a not for babies. It was highlights from the NBA in the 80s and the 90s. Have you seen that?
I've seen similar videos, I think. Just how violent it was?
The way they beat the crap out of each other.
Oh, yeah, it was a contact sport.
None of the other sports have changed that drastically. The NFL is obviously way more high scoring, but
I think the NFL has.
You think the NFL's changed
absolutely
that much?
Absolutely. Watch a video of the way they treated quarterbacks in the 70s.
Mm. But, well, I don't know. Depends on what you like, I guess. Seems like more scoring, less just fighting each other, seems like a good idea.
Nah, somebody comes into the lane, they deserve to be brutalized.
Take their head off.
Make them pay a price.
Speaking of brutalized, this is an amazing statistic, or a set of amazing statistics, that you would think a society would talk more about. If this happened in any village anywhere in the world throughout history, You would think everybody, all the elders would get together and say, what is going on? If you had an increase in murders in 30% in 1 year.
Doesn't fit the narrative.
Doesn't fit what narrative?
The narrative. The narrative.
What's the narrative?
Trump bad. Anything else good? Democrats are in charge. Everything must be good.
So we're talking about 2020. I suppose 2021 might be even worse. But the U.S. last year endured the highest increase in murders since the FBI started keeping track in 1960. And I'd be willing to bet that it's the biggest increase ever.
Yeah, wait a minute. I've heard this number before, but it bears taking a second to let it sink in. 30% year over year?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
The previous record was in 1968, which was a crazy year.
Absolutely.
There was a record 12.7% increase in murders from 67 to 68. But last year, more than twice that jump of 30%. It's just incredible.
That is almost like there was a coup and the government broke down and armed gangs were roving the streets scenario.
Big cities, particularly hard hit with populations over 250,000, they saw a 35% increase in killings. Of course, Chicago would have a lot to do with a lot of that, but not all of it. 5,000 more homicides across the country than a year earlier. How is there not like a commission being formed to try to figure this out?
There may be, but nobody knows about it.
How is there not like a last night, I think it was, all of the comedy shows did a special around climate change. Was that last night? I thought it was this week.
Yeah, it was last night.
It was last night?
Last night, yeah. Okay.
So tonight's show, Colbert, Kimmel, Corden, Trevor Noah, Samantha Bee, all of them took a look at climate change on their show because it's such a big deal. Seems like we need that sort of thing around murders. I mean, that's a stunning statistic.
I think a lot of it is that the murders are taking place in places that are not where the powerful live. They're in the rough hoods. The police have pulled back because of the whole defund the police stupidity.
But that's the sort of thing people like me ignore, not lefties.
I think lefties ignore it when it's their policies that have led to it. It's a pretty uncomfortable confession to make.
Mm.
That's crazy, though. That's absolutely nuts.
Almost certainly the biggest jump in 1 year in murders in the nation's history, isn't it?
Yeah. Other than, you know, like the Civil War or what have you. Extrajudicial killings or something like that. Yeah, it's absolutely astonishing. It is, if I were to hear that about Greece, for instance, or Romania, or you name the country.
Oh, yeah, you would think that country's coming apart.
Right, it has a terrible societal breakdown.
Actually, you look at it from a distance and you see a storming of the capital and a 30% rise in killings and then, you know, some of the stuff about all the fights on planes and everything like that. Oh, yeah. And then the riots in the streets and all the businesses being smashed up. The fact that 17 Walgreens have closed in the Bay Area in the last year because everybody steals everything. Yeah, you would look at that from a distance and think that country is just about to come apart.
Yeah, this sort of thing used to be said hyperbolically to get attention and, you know, get ears and eyes. America is truly in many ways turning into a third world country. It is regressing. We are devolving as a society. And either people are outraged about it, but they don't have the media and the schools on their side, or they're conveniently ignoring it because they're wishing it away.
And then,
or it's directly the result of their policies, so they're sure as hell not going to call your attention to it.
And then finally, from the you'll have to ask somebody else about this department, the Fed is considering its own digital currency. Again, you'll have to ask somebody else about this because I don't understand Ethereum and Bitcoin already. And the fact that the Fed's considering its own digital currency, I got nothing to say about that.
Powell coin. Jerome Bucks.
Yellen doubloons. I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. You'll have to ask somebody smarter than me about this.
Armstrong and Getty.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions.
I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There was no one funnier, a brilliant Canadian, yep. You know,
in our show we do a tribute to comedians. I'm serious about this, and we name different comedians like Bob Newhart and people, and we do a tribute to Norm Macdonald, and we use one of his lines. We say, and this is one of his lines, he said, "There's only two categories of cliff diving, grand champion and stuff on a rock."
But I really think that in comedy particularly, the originals stand out the most, and they stay with us long after they're gone. And there was no one more original than Norm Macdonald. Yeah. Yeah. There was no one who did his style. There was no one who had his rhythms. He was remarkable and so kind and funny.
Yeah.
That, whether you're a musician or a comedian or whatever, being something different, how is that even possible at this point? But comedian Bill Burr was talking about Norm Macdonald, and you watch all his late night show appearances. He was Conan's favorite guest. He was Letterman's favorite guest. He was all these people. And he said, no matter what, it was always compelling and different. He said, you know how hard it is? All those people that go on those shows and do the same thing night after night after night, to go on there and be compelling and different all the time? That's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I had something serious and political and brainy to do, but I'd rather tell you about this. I just came across this yesterday. I had forgotten that Norm Macdonald's kryptonite was sports betting, gambling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a big-time gambler.
Lost everything he had a couple of times.
Three times. No thanks to a compulsive gambling issue that ultimately landed him in a psychiatrist's office.
I think that explains his comedy, actually.
In what sense?
He talks in his book about, he said, people that aren't compulsive gamblers don't understand this. He said, it's not the winning. Winning is not what drives it. It's the time. It's the period of time between placing the bet and the result. He said all of the magic is there. That's the excitement, the anticipation of, is this going to work or not? So you win, it's just you're on to the next one. It's not, you don't care about the money. It's that high wire act of, is this going to work or not? And that explains his comedy, because it was constantly, Conan O'Brien was talking about how his comedy was constantly a high wire act. He would come out and he would walk out on the edge of, is this going to work or not? So clearly he had that same thing with comedy. That, is this going to work or not, is the excitement for me.
Whether it works or not, he's a thrill seeker. Just of a different sort.
Yeah.
He actually threw $60,000 into the ocean once. I will explain in a moment. But he told a story. He was going to a psychiatrist for his gambling. And the psychiatrist said, and I quote, "You're fixating on gambling in order to escape your real thoughts." And I said to him, "Isn't that why you do everything in life?"
Good question.
I stumped him. In 2011,
hey, isn't that why you do everything in life?
Hey, you do it better than me. Norm put down $25,000 on Manny Pacquiao to beat Shane Mosley, despite the payout on that bet only being $3,000, and Norm knew nothing about boxing.
Which gets to the whole, the excitement is the risk, not the winning.
He placed $400,000 on a Super Bowl once, lost.
$400,000 on the Super Bowl. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So he was talking to Mark Maron in his podcast, claiming gambling not only alleviated his crippling fear of his own mortality, but on some level going broke was an emancipation from his obsession. Norm said, and I quote, "I've never had substance abuse problems, but it's like people who know they're going to hit bottom and kind of want it because it gets exhausting to be obsessed with something. Mm-hmm. If you have $450,000 in the bank and you lose $400,000, you go, F it. I don't want to have $50,000. I don't want money to remind me I had more money." And then he says, "I did a stupid thing one time. This was my big statement over at Atlantic City on the boardwalk. I threw $60,000 into the ocean to quit, the same way a drug addict would throw his drugs into the ocean."
Wild.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And then I heard him, actually Artie Lang, the comedian, was telling the story that he hung around Norm Macdonald for a few years. They had several projects together, had a great time, but they're both degenerate gamblers. And they had this this proposition called, I think it was called the point bet or something like that. It had a really simple name. Long story short, you bet the over-under in a basketball game. If you're not into gambling or sports, that means you say, for instance, "I think the teams will score a total of 180 points. And if you bet the over, you're saying you think it's going to be a higher scoring game, or the under, lower.
In baseball, obviously, I'd take the under on that.
At 180? I think that's a sound bet. Football, too, really. Anyway, so they had this bet where you got $1,000 for every point, if you bet the over, that it went over. So as Artie was saying, it every free throw is worth $1,000. A two-pointer, a three-pointer is worth $3,000 every time it happened once you hit that 180 points. But if you bet the over and it was under, you owed $1,100 for every point it went under.
Oof.
And they made that bet on Bulls-Jazz NBA Finals, which ended up 96-54. It was the lowest scoring finals game in modern history. And they both lost just enormous amounts of money. So, interesting. Throwing $60,000 in the ocean. Because that was his drug.
Because he didn't want to do what he was compelled to do all the time.
Yeah.
Have you watched the moth joke? That was probably the most shared Norm Macdonald clip last week.
Yes.
And
yes.
So Conan had the background story on that joke, which y'all ought to check it out if you haven't, in that it is, he thought he was on for one segment. They told him during the commercials he's on for two segments. He didn't have anything ready to go. And he tells this very simple, could be short joke, but drags it out for 7 months, for 7 minutes, with all these incredible details. It's just, as Conan said, it's watching his mind work in real time as he just drags this thing out for 7 minutes.
Oh,
and because he's him, he's got the confidence of just the high wire act of, you know, I don't care if it works or not. It doesn't matter to me.
And it is hilariously, ridiculously terrible and wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. But knowing that background that he was ad-libbing all of that just out of his own head is incredible.
And my son, Igor Igorovich. I look at him. I look in his eyes. Yeah, you got a Norm MacDonald moth joke. He'll find it.
God, that would be torturous. There's all kinds of addictions, and I suppose they're all bad enough to ruin your life, most of them. But that whole, you need to have the stress of, am I going to win or not, to the point of losing everything you got. Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't overlap. Like he said, he had no substance abuse. He wasn't a big drinker. He wasn't a big drug taker, but he had the gambling thing. I'm an alcoholic. I have zero interest in gambling. Like, it has no pull on me whatsoever. I look at gamblers and think, why didn't you just quit, you idiot? Gamblers look at drunks and say, why'd you do that again? It always turns out the same, you moron. I mean, so just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably different subsections of the brain. Same neighborhood, different house.
Same neighborhood, different house. There you go. That's a good one.
Yeah. Gambling, it was like a lot of things with me. I realized I liked it too much. And so said, no more of that. And I don't know if that's wisdom or it might even be cowardice. I don't know, but it's something. But I've always had a pretty good sense of I like that too much.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Food, he's right, though.
Food can be that way. Sex can be that way. Obviously, drinking and drugs. Gambling.
Sexy food, eating during sex.
Shopping can be that way. I think that about covers it, doesn't it? I think that's all.
Sex in department stores while eating. Oh,
with a buzz on.
Oh, please.
And then you gamble on whether or not you're going to get caught.
I'll bet you $200 I can get away with having sex in this department store.
Now hand me that ham.
Hand me the rest of that Subway sandwich. Exactly.
Armstrong and Getty.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show. Brian returned alone to his parents' Florida home on September 1st, 10 days before Gabby was reported missing. Brian's parents say their son left the house on September 14 and reported him missing on the 17th. A neighbor says Brian acted normally during his time at home. Quote, he mowed the lawn. Him and his mother went for a bicycle ride around the block. I mean, everything was just normal life once he came back. It seemed like nothing bothered him.
Yeah, so John Walsh of America's Most Wanted fame, his theory is the parents, that was a ruse. So you had him come out, mow the lawn, ride a bike around the neighborhood, establish himself being seen looking normal. Then he took off with the parents' help. The parents claimed he was at their house. So he had a good at least 4 days head start on getting away. And you wonder, what kind of parent would help their kid get away with murder? Well, it's actually in the paper today, as we've talked about this Kristen Smart, who disappeared from Cal Poly back in 1996 and was one of these Gabby Petito stories for a while, because she was an attractive young white girl, at least part of it. The suspect was this Paul Flores guy, college kid at the time, along with her, who left her at the corner outside a sorority house.
Or so he claimed. Yeah.
And he was arrested not long ago, kind of with the help of a podcast. But anyway, they arrested his dad, too. His father, 80-year-old Ruben Flores, is charged with accessory after the fact. So the belief is that the kid killed her at this college party or after the party and then went home and dad helped him get away with it. So there's precedent for this sort of thing.
Helped him get rid of the body.
Yeah. So there's precedent for this sort of thing.
Oh, of course, yeah, absolutely. Sick family, or you know, a kid says, look, it was an accident, I was drunk, or I was just defending myself and whatever, and that parental instinct kicks in among certain people, and they're willing to do something unspeakable. I am absolutely off the he killed himself theory, and I could be wrong, but that sure seems like a calculated effort to establish he's here, he's with us, everything's cool. And then sometime between that Tuesday and Friday, when they reported him, quote unquote, missing to cover their own asses, he headed out. I'll bet they got him a car. They parked it where he left his car. And he is Lord knows where in some car that can't be tied to him.
That'd be my guess.
Hiding out in disguise or whatever. He's handy at camping and that sort of thing. He's probably in a rural area. But
How old is he? Isn't he in his 20s?
23, I think.
Isn't he going to stay on the lam for the next 60 years?
Yeah, I don't know. There are a lot of people on social media who have like kicked in facts and locations, and I saw him here, there, and here's where. And actually, they found her body partly because some other would-be travel blogger said, I saw him at this campsite. And they found her, unfortunately, her body. But I've got to believe with this case, as big as it is, this guy can't go anywhere
without
the crowdsourced detectives of America tracking him down.
That's the biggest flaw in their plan. If this was just a regular murder, and there are thousands of murders that go unsolved every year, thousands and thousands, and nobody pays any attention. But if this was one of those, he could get away. But he can't walk into a convenience store in the middle of nowhere. Now?
I don't think so. Not anymore. Oh, so speaking of this case, and every time we bring up this woman's name, we have to say, I hesitate to even quote her because she doesn't deserve any attention or a platform, but crackpot MSNBC host Joy Reid went big on the idea that the attention of Gabby Petito was because people are afflicted with missing white woman syndrome. And, you know, it does play part of it. I think it's easy to understand. People feel that really deep emotional pull to figure out what happened if somebody looks like one of their kids or somebody who genetically could be one of their children. It's instinctive. It just is because it is. You can talk about it, why it is and all, but it is. Unquestionably, it is the way people are. But so she talked about missing white woman syndrome and how it's tragic that people don't pay more attention to missing people of color and all. And I certainly see that
point
of view.
Or any of the other thousands of missing white women or white men
or
that go ignored also.
Right. If a gal's heavy set, she's not going to make the news every single night, which is it's crazy. But at some point, you just have to accept it. So anyway, Joy Reid says this, and Candace Owens shot back with a pretty good point. She says, can someone let me know what syndrome it is that causes us to ignore every white person that's killed by a police officer, but demands that we burn cities across the world to the ground for thugs like George Floyd?
That is a good one.
So shot black person syndrome, if you will. Now, immediately she was called a race traitor and the rest of it. White people discussing white people who have committed crimes against other white people is missing white person syndrome. But black people discussing black people who have committed many crimes against other black people are race traitors. So basically, it's very important that black people shut up and say nothing when crimes are committed against black victims. But also very important that we get angry and ask why white victims get so much attention when crimes are committed against them. I think that's a pretty solid couple of points.
Mm-hmm.
But so much of it, and I hate to take the fun out of it, but so much of a discussion of an individual crime or whatever is not about that crime. It's about seizing power. It's using those particulars to gain the moral or the verbal high ground by a Joy Reid, for instance. All she wants to do is be triumphant, you know, be on a high horse with you down below begging for mercy. So anyway, gets tiring at times. The modern discussion.
Somebody should figure out the formula for what makes these cases catch on.
And you could just refer to it as a C2.
Yeah. You know? Young, white, attractive seems to be important. But like if you're 35, it's not near as likely as it catches on as if you're 25 for some reason.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's the difference between a B2 and a B3, Jack. The B2, much higher rated. Because the person is young, extra hot, they have childlike qualities. You know, I noticed that about Gabby Petito. She is obviously a grown woman and a very beautiful woman, but she has childlike qualities about her.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes it more compelling.
Like a kid, yeah.
I say final, you say thoughts. Final, final, thoughts. Arms are getting.
That makes me want to run through walls. Here's your host for Final Thoughts, Joe Getty.
This music, on the other hand, makes me want to run through daisies.
Let's get a final thought from everybody on the crew. What say? Let's begin with Michelangelo in the control room pressing the buttons. Our technical director, Michael, what's your final thought?
Yeah, guys, I'm not Norm MacDonald. I'm boring. Sugary food, sourdough bread, warehouse club specials. These are my addictions that I live with daily.
Warehouse club samples. It's your compulsion. Young Alex is our behind-the-scenes producer. Alex, final thought?
Yeah, I'm actually not going to be here tomorrow. I'm taking off a little early celebrating a buddy's bachelor party. So shout out, James. Looking forward to playing a couple rounds of golf in Arizona.
Bachelor party. Are you a drinker?
Not much.
Not much. Okay.
Well, so maybe this weekend, but not
you'll be
much.
All right.
Lazy. Jack, a final thought for us?
I go to a bachelor party when I'm your age on a Friday. I'm not good until next Thursday. I'm not.
So you're giving me the week off.
I'm not fully okay. No, you go to work. You just feel like crap all the time. I got, speaking of compulsions and addictions or whatever, I got the donut thing. This has come over me. I need to have a donut and right now. And my rational brain knows that as soon as I'm done binging on donuts, I'll wish I hadn't. And that it's temporary and all that. But I've got the complete compulsion to stop at a donut shop, which I will do after the show.
Wow. So my final thought is a little more complicated. The Maxine Waters clip that what happened at the border the other day, which was a minor incident, was worse than slavery. If the people who spend so much time shouting at us actually cared about black people, actually cared about slavery, the legacy of slavery, etc., they would be taking Maxine Waters to the rhetorical woodshed. Let's see who comes forward and actually does that and points out how that just utterly diminishes the horrors of slavery to say something like that.
Well, obviously, any white politician says what she said, and they would have had to resign by midnight last night. I think this will be completely disappeared from the news flow by tomorrow. It's something. Armstrong and Getty wrapping up another grueling four-hour workday.
So many people, thanks a little time. Go to armstrongandgetty.com. Got a lot of good clicks for you under hot links. You can pick up some A&G swag, pick up a shirt. Helps keep the guys employed. Email us if there's something we ought to be talking about. mailbag@armstrongandgetty.com.
So we follow the news all day long, so you don't have to, and we'll talk to you about it tomorrow. That's what we do. God bless America.
What the hell are we doing here?
Oh, Congressman,
it's a little too much doggy dog.
Let me share something with you.
LGDP, LGT, LBG.
I was wondering, you know, what you felt about that.
I work 18 hours a day.
I'm pissed.
I think it's worth asking why.
There's a sale at Penny's.
Are you sh-
Half cup full, half cup empty.
And we'll be back with more right after these words.
Get out of here, you moron! You hippie?
No, thank you.
On that high note, thank you all very much.
Armstrong.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Getty.